All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, I'm going to preach a message out of a couple of verses here that the Lord gave me some time ago. And if you've heard them, just act like you haven't. Hallelujah. If you know the next point, act like you don't. And just jump up and down and shout and carry on. We'll have a good time. Amen. All right, Psalm 27, and I want to begin reading in verse number 11. The psalmist David here said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." Now we know without a doubt those verses are speaking of Calvary and the Lord when He died upon the cross. We know that without a doubt. These next words, He said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Boy, what a tremendous encouragement and admonition from the Word of God that is. Let's bow our heads and pray. And I'll try to give you what few thoughts I've got on it tonight and hope it'll be a blessing to us. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the privilege to be back in the house of God one more time. Thank you for the strength in my body to be here. Thank you, Lord, for your people that are here tonight and those listening by the radio. We never know what you might want to do in a service. But I pray, Lord, that you'd breathe upon us tonight in an unusual way. We've got many folks out, many missing, some homesick, some away from us. And Lord, the crowd seems to be small, but I pray that you'll breathe upon us anyway, and you'll show mercy unto your people. And I pray that you'd give grace in the preaching tonight and grant liberty. I pray that you'd warm our cold hearts and help us in a divine way tonight. For Lord, help cometh from God. There is no help in any other. Our help is from above. Help us to look unto the hills from whence cometh that help. But when our heart is overwhelmed within us, help us look to that rock that is higher than I. I pray you'd bless now by saving people and by reviving and helping and strengthening your children in the Lord. And those that are sick, help them tonight home. Give them grace and touch their bodies. Bless now with liberty and power and unction to the preacher. I need your divine help and grace. And bless me that I might be a blessing. And Father, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our verse tonight is found in verse number 13, and it's where the psalmist here said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Now, the psalm, Psalm 27, was written, it tells you, it's written by David. It's a psalm of David. And most of David's Psalms has a particular occasion behind them, one that we can go to in the Scripture and readily find. But Psalm 27 has no particular situation in David's life that I can find that it may occur. But we know David wrote it, and without a doubt because the Psalm bears his name. Now, one thing we do know about this, that it was common to David's life. Because David was a man that was like the Lord in many ways, acquainted with sorrows and griefs. And David had his ups and downs in his Christian life. He seemed to go through as many battles as any Old Testament servant of the Lord that I'm aware of. And it seemed like one day in his personal life, he was really on top of the mountain. And the next day, he was in the valley. But one thing I noticed about David, he may be in the valley physically, but he very seldom stayed in the valley spiritually very long. It seemed like he come out of that valley and always had victory in his heart in every occasion. And I believe this is one of those situations. I believe we find in the psalm, I believe we find David in a very difficult situation. In a very pressing situation. It's so pressing upon him, like Paul in Corinthians 1, 2 Corinthians, that he said he was in so much trouble that he was pressed out of measure. That is, there was pressure upon Paul's life. And God's people today are living under a great amount of pressure. It seems like we make more than we ever had and have less than we've ever had in our lives spiritually. And we're living under a great deal of pressure. And that pressure seems to rob us of our thoughts that we ought to have on the Lord, and robs us of keeping our mind stayed upon the Lord that gives us the peace that we need to have. But David was in one of those situations that had brought him under great pressure. In fact, he was under such pressure, he said, I had fainted. He said, I would have fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, it's one thing to believe God for His goodness in the sweet by and by. It doesn't take a very spiritual man or woman to thank God for the blessings of heaven. We know heaven's there and heaven's a reality. And we're not very spiritual if that's the only time that we can thank God for what He's done and believe God for what He's going to do in our life. But David here is not referring to the hereafter. He's referring to what is getting ready to happen in his own life. He said, I had fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, David said, I'd have fainted unless I'd believed God was going to do something in this life for me personally in a personal type of a way. Now, the word goodness there simply means best. And what David is saying here is, David is saying that he would have surely have fainted that unless he had believed that God was going to give him the very best that he has in this life. And you know, I think a lot of people have got the idea that God's let them down, that God has departed from us. But God's not went anywhere. God's on the throne where He's always been. And He's never left that throne of grace. And that throne of grace awaits us there anytime we want to approach it. Now, I'd say this, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it would behoove you and I to learn to get on that throne of grace numerous times as often as possible and find the grace that we need to help us in times of need. One thing I find out about David, every situation in his life that seemed to be an adversity against him, we always find David at the throne of God's grace. He knew that help wasn't in man. He knew that help wasn't in finances and money and possessions. David realized that help was in the Lord and realized that God is a very present help in trouble. Amen. That didn't say in time of trouble. He said a present help in trouble. That means when you're in trouble, God is a present help. God is there. God's always there and always will be there to help us in that time of trouble. Now, I want to go on to say now that a lot of folks seem to believe that God has let them down or God's not done for them what He ought to do. May I say that God will always give His best to those that leave the choice with Him. Many times we make our own choices and we fail to get exactly what God wants us to have. But if we let God make the choice in our life, God will always give His best to us. And you know, God wants to give His best. Somebody said, how can what I'm going through in life possibly be the best that God has for me? Because God knows exactly what you need. And God knows what it takes to get you where He wants you. And God knows what it takes to make out of you what God wants to make out of you. And so He's going to have to sometimes lead you through the dark valleys. Sometimes He's going to have to bring you under pressure. Under so much pressure that maybe even like David, that you feel like you're about to faint. But just remember that there's some goodness of God in the land of the living. He said, I believe. He said, I'd have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Now, I'll tell you, I've been praying for revival for a long time. Now, I haven't stopped praying yet. I know things get dry, things are dry and things are getting dead. Things get dull around the house of God. And we feel like God has left the church. But He's not left the church. The church is the apple of God's eye. He's not about to leave something that He purchased with His own blood. He paid the highest price that it could possibly be paid for our redemption. And He's not about to abandon us in this battle that is raging against the church now. He has promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And it's not going to. I'll guarantee it is not going to. Now I want to make about four observations right quickly and get into the Bible. I want to say number one, it is possible for you and I to faint. As a child of God, it is possible for you and I to faint on the Lord. For the Bible says so, and I'll show you in just a minute. But to faint, it means to become weak, and I don't mean weeble and feeble. I mean to become weak and very feeble. And that in a spiritual way. And I believe that we're living there now. It means to become exhausted. And may I say to you, and I've said it so many times, that I believe it was Daniel said that the devil or the Antichrist would wear out the saints. And that's exactly what he's trying to do now. I think we've always taken that to mean in the tribulation period. And maybe it is definitely referring to the tribulation period. But I'm telling you, it looks to me like he's doing a pretty good job now. Praise God, when we come dragging into the house of God with our lower lip on the carpet and leave with carpet burns on it, that tells me that we're almost spiritually exhausted. That we need a little extra reviving. That we need a little help from Almighty God. And it looks to me like Satan is about to wear out the saints now. So it is possible for a child of God to faint. Now, I don't know what you believe, but I believe Hagar. She would have fainted had it not been for the goodness of God in the land of the living. There was no water in that barren place where she was at, but God opened up her eyes and she saw a well of water. And God helped her by showing her the goodness of God in the land of the living. Now, I'm going to tell you, God can open your eyes and my eyes alike. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, God can open our eyes and show us a well of water that will refresh our hearts and revive our spirits and stir our souls one more time and set our heart aflame for the glory of God and set our hearts on fire in the service of God. God's able to do that. And so it is possible to faint. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, when do we faint? Well, we faint when provisions fail us. And I think that's where we're living today, when provisions fail us. In Mark chapter 8 and verse number 3, the Bible said the Lord was speaking to a large crowd, a very large crowd, a multitude of people had gathered around Him. And it was time for them to have a meal. And the Lord made this statement. He said, somebody said they had nothing to eat. The Lord said, they have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their houses, they will faint by the way. I wonder how many Baptists have went away from the house of God on Sunday morning and fainted by the way because they failed to find provisions in the house of God. Sometimes it's pretty slow in here, but I appreciate what Miss Ruth said. But I'm going to tell you, I try to give you the Bible. You're not to dine on what Brother Hall necessarily says. But your nourishment and your strength is to come from what I say out of that Bible or what that Bible says. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people today are fainting because they're failing of the provisions that God has made for them. And we fail to realize that God has spread a table for you and I to dine on, to nourish us and strengthen us. And if we don't partake of that, we're surely going to faint along the wayside somewhere or another. I'm going to tell you something. We wouldn't live very long if we did not eat natural food. I mean, I don't know about you. I couldn't make it very long without beans and taters. Amen. A good pone of cornbread. That's all asked me the other day. Said, how would you like to have some beans and fried potatoes tonight? I said, yummy, yummy for the tummy, tummy. Amen, amen to God. Set them on. Amen. Set on the, I told her, I said, like Elijah, I said, set on the big pot. Amen. Yeah. I like them. And I had to have something to eat. Well, I'm going to tell you, the soul of man has got to have something to eat. Amen. The soul of man has got to have nourishment. The soul of man has got to have food. And hey, I cannot spoon feed everybody. You're going to have to feed yourself and nourish yourself from that Bible. God expects us to get into that Bible, read that Bible, feast ourselves on the Word of God, and let God strengthen and nourish us in the Bible, lest we faint along the way. The preacher can't do it all. I'll tell you, 3 hours every day is all you get. You're not, 3 hours a week is all you get. You're not getting much. You need to get something on your own. I'm going to tell you, I've never forgotten the days of Bible college. I got a lot of strength from sitting in those classes. I got a lot of strength from the chapel service at 7 o'clock every night. I really did. I got our 7:30 every night. But I'm going to tell you, the strength that I really got most of the time was between about 11 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning. Out there in the living room, sitting in that maroon chair with my feet propped up on that orange ottoman that I used for a footstool, what it was. And I'd read my books that I had to read for the next night and study everything there. Then I'd get out my Bible and read my Bible for as long as I thought I possibly could. And then I'd take my feet off of that ottoman and turn that ottoman into an altar. And I found myself on that altar praying night after night after night. And those nights in chapel were good. And those nights in classes were good. But I'm going to tell you, there is nothing that will replace your private time with the Lord. I mean, you can just be you when you're alone with the Lord. You can tell Him everything bad about you, and you don't have to worry about Him gossiping about it. But I'll tell you what you can get. You can find compassion and pity and help from the Lord by telling Him everything about you that He would want to know about. And tell Him everything bad about you. Somebody says, I wouldn't dare tell Him everything that's bad about me. That's exactly why you're as weak as you are. God wants you to get that out of you and cast your care on Him, because God cares for you. Amen. And He's not apt to run and tell anybody either. A lot of Baptists, you try to sit down and cry on their shoulder, and the next day the whole world knows about it. Amen. Telephone, telegraph, telebaptist. Amen. The whole world knows about it. They got it on the internet before you can breathe 3 breaths. It's already on the internet, and it doesn't take long to get her around the world. Amen. That's right. They say, there's one internet site, they tell me, that carries all the good gossip. All the good gossip. I wouldn't waste my time with that mess. I wouldn't waste my time with that mess. We got too much to do rather than waste our time with a mess of gossip more than another. And especially when they just want to get on there and argue. Remember what I said the other night about the not discussing the Bible? They just want to get on there and argue. Somebody said, one fella on there called me that long-legged, ugly preacher from Kentucky. Well, praise God, he might think I'm ugly. Miss Hall don't. And I don't give a flip what he thinks. I could care less. I'm concerned about really four things in this life. My family, my church, my wife, and my Lord. Amen. When you get around that, I'm not concerned about a whole lot of people, what they think about me. As long as I can halfway please you and get along with you, I'm not worried about that crowd out there. And I'm not going to argue with them. They can believe about me whatever they want to believe about me. It doesn't make any difference. I know what I am. I not only know whom I believed and persuaded, He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day, but I know what I am also. And I'm going to tell you, if a lot of other people figure out what they are, it would help a lot. And I'm going to tell you what we are. We're big round zeros in God's eyes. If we'd ever get that way in our own eyes, we'd be a whole lot better off. That's right, we'd be a whole lot better off. And so when provisions fail, we're apt to faint. Now I say number two, when prayer fails, we're apt to faint. The Bible said, and you've heard this in Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That tells me that without prayer, we are going to faint, church. And I've noticed in our church prayer meetings and our prayer meetings in the office. It seemed like they grow weaker and weaker. It seemed like we do fairly good on Sunday morning, but we come back on Sunday night and it's as weak as brass water. And we come back on Wednesday night and it's even worse than that. It seems like nobody is really crying out to God.
Amen.
And when I read in the Psalms, many times I find when David prayed, he said, I cried unto the Lord. And the Lord heard, gave ear, and heard my cry.
Amen.
I wonder how many of us are really crying out to the Lord today for the help that we need. I don't think when we bow our heads and say, Lord, give me some help today. I don't believe that's what the Lord wants. Do you think when Peter was out on that water on the sea and was walking on the water and he lost sight of the Lord and began to look at the waves and began to see the wind blow and the waves lap around his feet and he began to sink. And you think that Peter said, Lord, help me. I got a feeling Peter said, Lord, oh Lord, save me. Help me. Amen. I'm telling you, he cried unto the Lord. Amen. Many times David says he cried unto the Lord with his voice, even with a loud voice. And we're afraid to cry to him with a whisper. I think some of us are afraid he will hear us. He can hear a whisper, but I'm going to tell you, when he sees that our soul is in agony, it's when God is going to send help. When we're agonizing with God over the problem that we're having and not whining about it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Please, somebody say amen. And so men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so that prayer life will keep us strong and keep us going for the Lord. May I say number three, when discretion and judgment fails us, when discretion and judgment fails us, we're bound to faint. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Hall? Hebrews 12:3, the Bible said, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And all what Paul is saying there is, when you get tired and weak and wore out, and it feels like you're about to be overwhelmed, consider him. Go back to his life. Look at it. Read about his life and how he was under such contradiction of sinners. I mean, they throwed everything he said right back in his teeth. Amen. He never found hardly a moment of rest while he was on this earth. And I'm telling you, nobody has ever resisted sin like our Lord has. Somebody said, well, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil couldn't make him do it. Now, I'm going to tell you, the devil can't make us do it. I'm going to tell you what will make us do it. Our sinful flesh will make us do it. Amen. When that flesh begins to take over our life and rule our life, that's what's going to make us do it. But I'm simply telling you, we need to overcome that flesh and realize that the spiritual battles that we're in, the Lord fought them a long time before we ever got there.
Amen.
Amen. Consider him and the battles he fought. But oh, there's a flip side of that coin. Flip it on the other side. Consider him and the battles he won. Amen.
Amen.
He died on Calvary's tree and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he laid down his life and died. But whoo! 3 days later, he got up out of the grave. I'm telling you, it looked like it was all over. But although he looked defeated, thank God, 3 days later, there was victory in his life. So I'm telling you, if there's anything we need to keep in mind, is keep in mind that God overcome death, hell, and the grave. He's got the keys hanging about his girdle tonight. Now, I know many of you in here, I know some of your woes. I know some of your heartaches. I know some of your troubles. And I'm telling you, Brother Hall has tried to help you, but I can't help you.
Amen.
If I could personally help you, I'd come to where you are right now and help you. But I can't help you. It is going to take the Lord. God's the only one that can help you in your need. Or you can cry on somebody's shoulder. You can talk to other people. But I'm going to tell you the bottom line of it is, you're going to have to sit down and pour your soul out to God. I mean, just empty your heart out to the Lord and tell the Lord all your woes and worries and cares and let God take care of it. Somebody said, what if he don't take care of it right then? Give him time. Wait upon the Lord. That's what the scripture says. And again, I say, wait on the Lord. That's what that Bible said I just read to you a minute ago. He's not going to do everything overnight. Sometimes it takes God a little while to get something done. And he does that. I mean, just like Lazarus. Just like Mary and Martha. Do you think that he couldn't have got there sooner? Sure he could. But he waited 2 days for a purpose. That they might see the glory of God. Now, I'm glad he waits sometimes. And that waiting is well worth it. Because rather than just seeing a little bit of God's goodness in the land of the living, he'll pour out his glory in the land of the living. Amen. I like to be at the under the spout where the glory runs out. And every now and then that glory will pour it out on us when we wait on the Lord and let God do for us what he wants to do. Now, I want to say, number one, was it possible to faint? Number two, there is the power of faith. He said, unless I had believed. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, he said, I'd have fainted. Unless I'd have believed to it. And so there is that power of faith. The Bible said in Hebrews 1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And Paul, let me ask you, what are you hoping for? Romans 8:24 said, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But hope is in those things that we don't see. Faith is in those. Hey, sometimes we need to reach out the finger of faith in the darkness and grab a hold of things unseen. Faith has a power to take hold of things unseen. I just read in Isaiah a couple of days ago where the Lord told Isaiah, said, behold, I do a new thing. I said, whoo! And he said, before I do it, he said, I'll tell you about it. Amen, amen to God. That's wonderful. I tell you, Isaiah had been praying, and if we'll get to praying and trust in God and let the finger of hope reach out and touch the hem of God's garment, God will do some things for us that we need in life that we have never seen God do before, but we're hoping that God will do it in our life. God can turn marriages around just like that. God can turn your finances around just like that, and you don't have to win the stinking lottery to do it either. You don't have to play the lottery to do it either. God help you, for if you play the lottery, God have mercy on you. You ain't got much sense to throw your money away on something like that. Amen. A fellow threatened to whip me one time for preaching against the lottery. I'm serious. Called me on the telephone, threatened to whip me for preaching against the lottery. Well, it's a long time ago down the road, and I'm still preaching against the lottery. That lottery's going to be the deal to take care of the educational problem in Kentucky, and it ain't done it. I'm telling you, they're telling a lie now that gambling is going to be what bails out the educational problem in Kentucky, and it won't do it. It'll deprive people of food on the table. It'll deprive families of what they need. It'll separate very loved ones. It'll drain a man will get addicted to that stuff. Gambling is worse than alcohol. It's got an addiction to it, I'm telling you. Man can grow addicted to gambling in one form or the other. Amen. That's right. Now, I'm telling you, it ain't going to help. It ain't going to help the educational program. I'm going to tell you what will help it. You know, a lot of folks wouldn't like this in Kentucky because they got to have their God, and it's called basketball and football. Heard a fellow down at the barbershop the other day. They was talking. A fellow said, yeah. Said if Kentucky don't do anything in basketball this year, said basketball's about going down the tube in Kentucky. Football's about to take over in Kentucky. Said the Wildcats and their football's about to take over. And I thought, well, I wouldn't give a flip all of them lost. Amen. Don't make care of maybe not. I'm going to tell you what. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed at the millions of dollars they spend every year on sports. Well, the kids has got to have something to do. Let them work. Amen. Ain't going to hurt them to work a little bit or study. Wouldn't hurt them to stay in there and study a little bit and learn a little bit. They're talking about we got poor education. No wonder all of the gimmicks and games that they got going on and play things, they're probably not in class over 30 minutes a day. You can't learn much like that, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't think it's the teacher's fault. Oh, we got bad teachers. No, I don't think it's the teacher's fault. I think one fault of it is the state's fault because they took parental rights away from the parents, and the parents can't correct their kids, and the church can't, the school can't correct their kids. And it's going down the drain. It's going to go further down the drain. But that power of faith, we got to hope in things that we see not. What are you hoping for? What are you hoping for? Riches, new home, new automobile, better job. All those things are good. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, if you'll seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things, T-H-I-N-G-S, things will be added unto you. God said, if you put me first in your life and make me number one in your life, I'll give everything else you need to you. I'll show you the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's exactly right. David said, I'd have fainted if I'd believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And he saw it. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40:39-40 said, then there's a patience. I almost missed my point. Then there's a patience of the faithful. Verse 14 said, wait, I say on the Lord. Why? It said, he shall strengthen thine heart. When we're about to faint, our heart needs strength. And we'll wait on the Lord will strengthen that faith. He'll strengthen it for us. Isaiah said in Isaiah 39:40, even the youth shall faint and the weary and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Who? They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you, waiting on God is not an easy thing to do. It's kind of like Josh sitting down here. I took him to a knife show with me several years ago over at Lexington. And me and him were sharing the room together. He's in one bed here and I'm over here. And I'm sitting there and he said, Papa, I'm going to sleep. I said, well, I'm going to read my Bible a little while before I say goodnight tonight. And I'm laying there reading my Bible. And Josh was laying there and all of a sudden he's laying there and he raised his arms up like that and he said, get off of me. Oh God, get it off. Oh, get it off. Help me, get it off of me. I don't know what was on him. I have no idea what was on him. But I can tell you one thing, he is under a lot of pressure. And he's like a lot of Baptists, he wanted it off. And that's the way we are, rather than waiting on the Lord. We want it off, and we want it off right now. I finally said, Josh, what's wrong with you? Nothing, nothing, nothing. I said, boy, you was under a lot of pressure, wasn't you? I don't know. You get it off. Oh, get it off. Help me, get it off of me. That's the way we are. The Lord lay a little burden on our heart. We say, oh, God, give me a burden. Then God gives us a burden, and we say, Lord, take it away. Instead of waiting on God and letting God do for us under that load what He wants to do. Then I want to say fourthly, not only are it's possible to faint and the power of faith and the patience of the faithful, but our personal favor. He said He shall strengthen thine heart. Boy, that's personal. That's favor from God. He didn't say strengthen somebody else's heart. It does me good when God strengthens somebody else's heart. But I'm going to tell you what, it does me good when God strengthens my heart. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, do you get that way, preacher? Let me ask you something. Does a bear like honey? Do cats eat birds? They do over around our place. Sure, I get that way. I'm flesh and blood just like you are. And there's times when I get in trouble, my heart gets heavy. And I grow weak along the way. And I'm no different than you. I'm made up just exactly like you are. But I've got news for you. You and I both possess the same Holy Ghost. We got the same Bible. We got the same opportunities to worship. And we got the same opportunities to fellowship with the people of God. And if we do not take advantage of those, then it's not anybody's fault but our own. Somebody said, well, I just can't worship down there anymore. Who's stopping you? I'm not. Somebody said, well, I just can't praise Him no more. Who's stopping you? If somebody would jump up and shout right quick, I'd fan it. Somebody said, what would you do if it was in the flesh? Long as it's been around here, it's about a little excitement, I'd fan it anyway. Amen. Thank God. That's right. I'd fan it anyway, buddy. Stir up a little bit of excitement anyhow. Now, I'm just going to mention these. I'm not going to preach them. I'm going to mention them, and I'm going to close with the service. But there's four things I see here if we're ever going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Number one is the vision that we need. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He hadn't seen it yet. And I say vision because I'm not talking about eating sauerkraut. I'm talking about like little Joseph had a dream. I'm talking about having a dream that God, believing God's going to do something and do something for us. I mean, just like Jacob over there. And I say this in a good illustration. Him and Elizabeth have started a little business. And if he just sets back without trusting God for anything about that, it may never do anything. But I'm going to tell you, you never know. If a man would believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, and them two kids get on fire for God and serve God like they're red hot on fire, you never know, two or three or four or five years from now, if the Lord doesn't come back, you may see Rickards Trucking LLC have 10 or 15 tractor trailers on the road. Amen. He may take over Maverick. Now look at him, see? He don't believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He's a big doubter. That's what most of us are, big D's, big doubters. Amen. We doubt that God can do it, but I'm telling you, God can do it. But we got to put God first in our life. Amen. If you young people in here will put God first in your life, God will put you first in His life. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'll assure you of that. I know He will. And so He said, I'd believe to see. There's got to be a little vision. And I'm just going to mention these. A vision of reconciling sinners. And a vision of the revelation of the Savior. And a vision of reviving the saints of God. And then there's a victory that was provided. He said, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Not only the vision needed, but the victory that was provided. He said, and He shall strengthen thine heart. And He will. God will do what He says He will. Don't be weak-hearted and faint-hearted. God will add strength to that heart. Amen. Amen. We ought to be so strong in the Lord we could charge hell with a water pistol. They used to say in Greenville, swing out over hell on a corn silk and sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. They said old Billy Kelly and Mae Jackson, a bunch of them down there one time, left a camp meeting, said it was as wild as anything they'd ever seen in their life. And some of them said, let's go down there in the cow pasture and pray. They went down some man's cow pasture, started praying and was making so much noise that the law showed up. Somebody called the law on them. And they said the law pulled up down there, two or three carloads of them, so they started shining spotlights out through the field. Said one of them, said about that time, said, brother, old Mae Jackson had climbed a tree. Said he hollered, whoo, glory to God. Said that cop shined that spotlight up in the tree and said he just waved back at it. Said he said, whoo, Woo! Glory to God. Said that cop said, see you later. Wrong. And they took off, buddy. They didn't want nothing to do with that. You know what them old boys was getting? I bet they woke up the next morning with strength in their heart they didn't have the night before. Not because they were screaming, whoo, praise God. But because they minded God and went down in that cow pasture and prayed. And when God saw them praying, and probably they had been waiting on God in prayer, God strengthened their heart and helped them. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in all that shouting. I don't believe in all of it either. But I do like to shout myself every now and then. You'll catch that after a while. And then finally, there was a valley that you must cross to get there. And I say to you, between every vision and every victory, there's a valley that you're going to have to cross. I think of little old David. Little old David come to the valley of Elah. Israel's on one side and the Philistines on the other side. David said, is there not a cause? He didn't have the victory just because he had the vision. He had the victory because he got on the other side of the valley. And you're going to have to cross that valley. And I'm going to tell you who's in that valley. The enemy. And somehow you're going to have to cross that valley. You'll never have the victory till you get from the hill on this side or mountain on this side to the mountain on this side. And there's a valley there you're going to have to go through. Now I'm telling you, the devil lurks behind every corner. And there's an adversary behind every bush. Oh, it's one of his emissaries is somewhere lurking in the shadows. They'll cast all the fear and all the doubt they can. And the devil will tell you over and over again, you'll never make it. What's the cause? You'll never make it. You can't make it. But all the time, I see afar off in a great white throne and see a hand raised high in the sky saying, come on, child. You can make it. You can make it. Don't listen to the devil. You can make it. In fact, you will make it. Amen. And like Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress, hey, by the grace of God, you will make it if you keep on going. There'll be a lot of sidetracks along the way, and there'll be a lot of temptations along the way, but we will make it if we stay with God. David said, I'd have fainted. Now, I'll tell you, if you're saved, whether you faint or not faint, you're going to heaven. But I don't want to go to heaven swooned out. I want to go up there, buddy, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You'll catch that in after a while. I was sitting thinking last night. I've been having a lot of pain again lately in my body. And I don't know what it is, and I don't think they do. Down to VA. But it's been having a lot of pain in my arms and legs and places in my body, in my rib cage. And I was sitting there thinking. And I said, Lord, I said, one of these days I'm going to die. And I take more medication sometimes, I think, than the law allows. And I said, you know, if I'm taking all this medication, they may put me on some medication and I get ready to go. I won't know anything about it. And I thought, I don't want to be that way. When I make that crossing, I don't want to be spaced out. I don't want to be drugged out. I want to be wide awake. And if I have to endure a little pain to cross over, I can cross over with a right mind and a fresh mind. And feel what it's like to set my feet in the waters of chilly Jordan and see my Lord standing on the other side saying, come home, son. Like that old song about Jimmy Davis, come on home now, son, it's supper time. Woo, one of these days the sun will set. And it'll be summertime. Yeah. Praise God, they won't be beans and taters. They'll be angels' food on the table. God will spread a table and put angels' food on that table. And I don't know why He'll do it. It humbles my heart to think about it. But Christ Himself will guard us and feed us with sweet manna. Hallelujah to God. I don't understand that. And it humbles my heart to even think about it. But it said He will gird Himself and feed us. What humility that ought to bring to our soul to think God would do that for us. And I'm going to tell you something, church. We're going to have what I just preached in order to make it with a happy spirit in our heart. We can make it. We can make that crossing happy. We don't have to make that crossing sad and gloomed and doomed. We can make it happy and rejoicing. And I'm not talking about jumping the pews, although if God got on Leroy, I sure would like to see him jump a couple. I'd like to see Brother Jerry with that peg leg jump a couple or something sometime. I'll tell you what we ought to do, praise God. Now, I don't say this to be rude. We ought to put one of them bouncer springs on his leg, buddy. Let him bounce up and down in here. I bet that'd stir up the crowd. Amen.
Amen.
It would me. See Brother Jerry come in here some morning springing on one leg up that aisle. Hallelujah. Give me one of them springboards. I'll help you, son. Amen. That's right. But we ought to come in with a spring in our step.
Amen.
A song in our heart. And believe God is going to give us something to carry home.
Amen.
Some goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do we have the faith to believe Him? If we don't, we'll faint by the wayside. He said, I had fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Not tomorrow. Not in eternity, but now in the land of the living. Let's stand together.